Oh, I love One Direction. Yeah, no, Made in the AM was when there was four of them. That was also a really good album. They don't miss.
They honestly really didn't. And these are like full albums that they did every year. This is crazy to look at, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess even if you push two of the like K-pop like mini albums together, it still doesn't equal to 16 songs.
Yeah.
Like I only had the CDs because of my car had a CD player and then it got jammed eventually. So
yeah.
I'm gonna take any of them out. At least the CDs in there were good and they were playing. So I'm just like, fine. Oh.
What's a group that you feel like now you like at a same level as you liked One Direction?
I would put them on like a TXT. Maybe even like a no, I engage with more 17 content than I do, than I did One Direction.
Okay. From a time before 1999, welcome to The Hagline, a K-pop podcast. We're a group of busy adult friends who needed to have a weekly mandated hangout time to digest the last week in K-pop. I am your ghost with the most. My name's Jack. It's October, so I'm your ghost. It's spooky. It's a spooky host. I use he, they pronouns, and I've been listening to Dragon Pony's debut EP. It's really good. It's called Pop Up. And yesterday was Bang Chan's birthday.
Oh, my goodness. I'm Aim. I use they, them pronouns. I have been listening to a lot of Everglow recently because we saw them in concert. And their stuff has been, really stuck in my head.
Oh, my gosh. You're turning a new leaf?
As they're disbanding.
Hey.
They said they'd see us again.
I'll put that negative energy out there.
I love putting negative energy out there.
Dispel. We know.
I love being right.
Dispel.
And hello, my name is Arena. I use she, they pronouns. I've been listening to a lot of R&B K-pop, mostly going through Jaehyun's album with the Smart Shuffle on. Spotify also came out with some more playlist options for me, and I've been exploring them.
Nice.
Yeah. Quick discretion. Everything on the show is just our opinion. We are not an official news source, nor are we professional knowers of everything that's happening in the industry.
Every time you do the disclaimer, I'm just like, we are professional knowers. These opinions are correct. Anyway. People can take what we say with a grain of salt, but I know that we're all right.
If you want to disagree with AIM, please skip their section of the show. Two very important shout-outs is thank you to our technical director, AIM's wife, Elena, for setting everything up, because now if you are one of two listeners on Spotify, you can now watch along with us on YouTube. And wow. If you're a YouTube watcher and want to bring us to go, you can also listen to us on Spotify, I guess.
Very. But
second shout out is happy birthday, Jack. Same birthday as Dropping.
Me and Junghan from 17 and Dropping and Shiny's One of One album also came out on October 4th.
Wow. And Snoopy and the Mia Snoopy. Twins.
Snoopy debuted and the Mia Twins. From Haikyuu.
Oh my goodness.
The show breakdown is we'll go through some new stuff first, then listen to some comebacks, and then finish off with some hot takes. Good luck. First on the news is
NCT Wish got their first win last night, tonight on Music Bank called Steady.
The one we listened to last week, right?
Yeah, the one we listened to last week. Congratulations, our wishies. Yeah, they're very young, but everybody should listen to NCT Wish. NCT doesn't miss. Like, when have they ever missed? So, go listen to their album. Congratulations, Wish.
That's their second win, I believe, right?
Yeah, they won with Wish before and with Songbird, but it's their first win for Steady.
Look at them.
They're so cute. I just feel like there's been a lot of negativity towards Wish and just a lot of like exclusion, etc. And like in some capacity, I kind of get it because they are really young and like NCT fandom has kind of grown up with NCT. So even our youngest, like Dream, those people are in their 20s now, their early 20s. So it's kind of
I feel like they're in like such a weird position to being the newest NCT group, being so young from the rest of the members, and then also being a all Japanese group as well. Like there's a lot of, there's a lot of things going against them.
Yeah. So it's just nice to see. I like to support them.
Next up was somebody on TikTok might be spreading some misinformation, unknown, unsourced. Actually, it was, I found the source and I didn't like the source personally.
Yeah, people are so good at just being like, oh my god, I saw this, therefore, real.
Wasn't it some janky website like concerts2025.com?
Yes, yeah. And I went to concerts2025.com.
Oh, no.
Because I'm just like, I need to verify this.
Context, since we didn't actually say, we are talking about the supposed Stray Kids tour dates for North America. Because those have not been announced yet. And someone, found 2025 concerts and was like, wow, Stray Kids are on here. And it was, like, literally it said, like, tickets go on sale on October 1st. October 1st? Now I'm making things up. On April 1st. And if that's not the biggest red flag you've ever seen, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it was also like, the person also says, just like, oh, this is probably not true, but they still decided to share it anyways. Not blaming them at all, because like, it's just proving that we still are waiting for these dates and we're excited to see them if we ever get to see any semblance of information being released about them.
Yeah. I mean, like, at this point, because don't we always complain about the time that they announce the tickets, and then when tickets go on sale, is always too short of a window. So it's like, okay, just let us know far in advance. Like, we could spread these things out. Put the tour date sometime next year. Set the announcement sooner rather than later, and then have maybe another month or two before tickets go on sale. Just to, like, give stuff some breathing room. Let people get prepared.
Yeah. It would be nice.
But what pisses me off the most is like every time I forget about the Stray Kids tour, I'm just like reminded by something, some rumor, some actual announcement. They're like, we're touring. And it's just like,
wow, why are you a Skiz anti?
I'm not. I'm an anti of announcements of announcements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But someone with actual tour dates, Moonbyul.
Cute. Are you guys going to go?
I will probably go.
Oh, we'll see what our family plans are like and if I attend.
Literally. Because what, Thanksgiving is the 28th? Oh, that's Black Friday. Yikes. Okay, I won't be going to this, I guess.
It's the tour company agency is Leo Presents, which does all the very small, small Nugu groups of people. That leaves Hwasa as the last member who hasn't done a U.S. tour, solo tour.
Awesome.
I have absolutely nothing to say about.
I don't know, should we talk about the 80s tour, the Europe leg?
It's happening.
Have fun over there. So sorry, us Americans are probably going to end up going to that.
Not us, though.
I'm sorry that it's going to be in the winter times for you guys. I know that's not going to be pleasant when all our 80s tour dates last year were during the winter, and it was not fun. Stay warm. Look cute, but stay warm. I think I got frostbite a little tiny bit last time I was in Chicago for their tour during the winter.
Speaking of tours that we did see, I saw DPR last Friday, and then you saw the gang on Saturday, and you saw Everglow on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a busy weekend.
How'd you guys like the DPR tour concert?
It was great. We decided that the order of the artists should have been Cream, Arctic, Ian instead of Arctic, Cream, Ian, because Cream set was like a little bit chiller and Arctic's was really like DJ, shake your ass, hype. And the chiller set going into Ian just like was a weird vibe a little bit. Not necessarily bad, but just like I would have preferred these in the other order.
Yeah, I can see how they did it in that way because it's just like someone actually singing going like an actual proper opener to going into the next one. But yeah,
Arctic was fucking great. Wish it had been longer. Actually, I could have gone for like two more songs from him. Cream was good. Ian was incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you guys had a sold out show as well.
Yeah. It was packed.
Yeah. Mm. Like from some of the pictures at other sold out venues, I'm just like, I do not want to be in the thick of that.
Yeah, low key, I was kind of like, damn, maybe we should have been in the pit, like if we wanted to dance and stuff. But the pit prices were like not it.
Oh, they were different pricings.
Yeah, because I think it was like mostly VIP and stuff in the pit. Like the meet and greet packages, etc.
Yeah, the pit was quite small, and then everywhere else was like 90% of the people were seated.
Yeah.
I do wish this had been at a different venue. Which venue? I don't know. But the theater at Madison Square Garden is just so awkward. It's more of like an auditorium. Like I was saying to Aim that I've seen panels for Comic-Con here. It's not a good concert venue.
Ours was quite the concert venue, but it wasn't sold out, and it was really fun. I loved standing in the back.
Yeah,
and drinks were $9, so
I was happy. Ours were not.
Add 10 to that.
Yeah. Anything from the rail is $9 at the Anthem. So I love you for that. Thank you so much.
Madison Square Garden eats shit.
But then, how was Everglow? How was it compared to going back to regular K-pop of Everglow?
I want to hear what Aim thought about Everglow.
So our venue wasn't sold out, which was a shame for the girlies, but not a shame for me personally, because I...
Did you hop up?
Oh, yeah. So we were in, also a theater venue, which had, mezzanine seating, so I bought, basically a seat in the literal last row of the mezzanine, and it was to move up almost the entire space of the mezzanine because it was pretty empty. I had basically a row to myself. It was nice and chill. The only struggle then with being in the mezzanine was everyone was seated and I sitting for this feels really weird, but I don't want to be the only one standing. I kind of want to shake my ass, but alas. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. My biggest complaint was just the backtrack was way too loud. They're all very competent singers, so hearing them sing live would be nice instead of hearing them kind of sing loud but mostly hearing a backtrack. It's I wish there was a better middle ground of this, but I really enjoyed it. They did a really good job.
Yay.
And now you're listening to them.
Yeah. It's I knew a handful of songs, but some I hadn't really listen to that much.
Their B-sides are really good.
Yeah, they have some really good B-sides, and their choreography is great. I was talking to Elena about it afterwards and was just I love some girlies that can dance and have actually really good choreography.
Yeah.
Their choreo is great.
How loud did the fan chanting and stuff sound from the mezzanine?
It was loud.
Okay, good.
Oh, that no actually does remind me of my other biggest complaint. Was they did some covers, and there's nothing inherently wrong with doing covers, but they have a really big discography. Why are we wasting time dancing to other and singing to other group songs? I want to hear your songs. And then the way that everyone screamed when they covered Supernova was kind of louder than
I knew it.
Yeah, I was we don't need to be that loud for the Aespa song, guys.
Yeah.
This is another group.
It kind of made me mad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, because from where I was sitting, it sounded really loud. And
yeah.
I'm like, you guys weren't this loud during some of their other fucking songs. I was like, y'all weren't even this loud during La Di Da. And I don't know if it was just because I don't want to shame. Male came off. I don't want to shame the way that other people enjoy a concert because they're going to enjoy it how they're going to enjoy it. And there's a creator on TikTok who I really respect, Dizzy, and he's always talking about how he's one of those people that is kind of silent and is just vibing along and stuff. But because he's a man and a tall dude, that sometimes he gets a lot of flack for not seeming like he's enjoying stuff. And so whenever now I go to complain about it, I kind of think about him and I'm just but the first five rows was predominantly dudes. Yeah. I don't know what needs to happen. I want to encourage you guys, yell, sing along, shout out. The guy that was sitting directly to my left as the concert went on, he got like progressively louder because I was loud the whole time. And like originally when I was right next to him, he was dead silent, was barely moving, was not doing anything. And I kind of felt bad because I know I was super loud. And the backtrack, I don't even know if it was a backtrack. I think it was just their albums playing, to be honest. Sometimes I felt like I could hear my singing over the music from the stage.
Yeah.
But like as the concert went on, he got like louder and louder and he started singing along to songs. And I was like, all right, see, like now we're getting into it. Like now we're getting excited. But yeah, it was good. I wish Aisha had been there. I feel bad that she's always fucking injured. Like, count your fucking days, Yehuah. Yeah, really glad this tour. Mia seemed to be in such a better headspace, such a better mood. She was suffering from anxiety last year. And this tour, oh my gosh. It was like the light was turned on. She looked so much better. She was having so much fun with the audience. She was interacting with everyone so much. I was like, oh my God, baby girl. So glad she's doing better. Hopefully Aisha feels better soon and that they all stay in good health for the remainder of their contract. I was just thinking that like everything in their career had turned out differently so that they could be at the same level of aespa.
Yeah. Because
before pandemic, they had that potential. They were really like
the trajectory was good.
Yeah, it was really good. And when they covered Supernova, I was just like, ugh, like so mad and so sad and just like, I wish you guys had gotten big like this. Like the potential was there. Anyway, love you, Everglow.
More concerts held by beloved groups across the globe.
We are referring to the 21 reunion concerts.
It's the first stop on the 21 reunion concert tour. I should have been there. Fuck my entire life.
Where else are they going? I didn't know they were doing multiple stops.
Yes. Okay. Seoul, Manila, Jakarta, Kobe, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Singapore, Bangkok, Taipei.
Jack is just sitting in the corner of our call, hand over mouth.
I'm right crying. I thought this was a different song playing the way that they were jumping around. I didn't realize it was ugly.
Did you ever think this moment would happen again?
No. They just like, this is what they deserved.
Yeah, like everyone's just so happy to see them back.
Because everyone loved 21. And the girls loved being 21. Like there wasn't bad blood between them. It wasn't like a group breakup. It wasn't a disbandment. YG just disbanded them. Without them even knowing.
That's crazy, actually. I didn't know that.
They didn't even know. Like, there's a video of Dara, like, finding out that they were disbanded, I think. She was on, like, the Philippines Got Talent or, like, another musical show, like, similar. And I think she found out, like, mid-show while she was recording.
Oh.
It was crazy. They didn't want to disband. They didn't know that they were disbanding. He just fucking did it. And he always treated them like shit. YG, count your fucking days, you fucking weirdo. He always treated them like shit. He always said that they were ugly, that like, oh, it's a good thing they're so talented because they're not pretty, they're not beautiful, they're not whatever. So when he debuted Blackpink, he was like, oh, this is the beautiful version of 21. Go fuck yourself, YG.
That's crazy.
I really hope if they do one US stop, I'll go, even if it's in LA.
Damn.
I'll quit my job. I don't care. Oh, it's just my face crying. Like, I grew up listening to them. Like, I listened to them all through high school. I watched them debut when they came out with Lollipop, which was like a fucking Samsung commercial that they did with Big Bang. YG die.
It's nice they get to do stuff again there.
Yeah, and to still see like how loved they are by everyone is always just a good feeling. Okay, we'll see you, 21.
I love you, 21.
A headline. I don't know. Coachella again.
Headline Coachella, I'll go.
Oh god. Oh, my god.
One day.
You good? Are you ready to move on? Never ready to move on from 21, but you know.
Are we talking about my next favorite thing?
Yeah.
Park Sung-hwa's Paris Fashion Week debut.
Aim, how did you like this look?
Oh, I loved it. He looks like he stepped straight out of like Tatooine. He looks so good. The best thing about this outfit looking like it would canonically exist in Star Wars is that I know with 110% certainty the Sung-hwa also had that same thought. He knows that, and that's why he picked this outfit. And he said, look at me, I'm a little Star Wars boy.
Yeah, stunning, incredible, never been seen before, talented, amazing. I actually really just like the outfit, and I think it looks good on him. I like the different tones of the brown. I like the like overall leather appearance. The belt is a perfect touch. The singular gold choker is perfection. It's stunning. Amazing. His little kitten heels, adorable. His little haircut, perfect. He just looked so good. And you could tell he felt good. When he was like walking into the show, he knew he was that bitch. He looked so smug at times, like he was trying to keep it down. But he knew, like he walked in there, he knew he looked fine as fuck. Period.
I feel like this could also just be like, honestly, a standalone dress. And we're not quite ready for that moment, I guess, apparently.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought it was. At a first glance, I really thought he was wearing really big boots and a dress. And I was like, and then I realized and was a little bit disappointed that wasn't real.
I don't know what I would have done if we'd seen, like, Sung-hwa legs. Like, they just know how to dress him. And I feel like that's honestly kind of rare for idols at Fashion Week sometimes. I feel like they don't really take advantage.
These two women doting over him is so real. Yeah. Also, I was so convinced that she was a lesbian, but apparently she has a husband, and that's super weird.
I was about to say, I'm just like, just to have your lesbian moms be so happy.
Yeah. Right? No,
like one day, the other day, we were looking it up. We were trying to figure out if she was a lesbian or not, because I was like, this is ginormous lesbian energy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God Waterbomb got fucking canceled so that he could go to the show and show everybody exactly how it's done.
Oh, this TikTok was so cute. This outfit, I was like,
the hair!
The hair really makes it.
This one. I love his curly bangs.
Oh my god, but this one too.
They were all good.
And then he's drunk.
After a couple of cups of champagne. So cute. he's precious.
Now that show happened, which one would you say is your favorite look from Paris Fashion Week?
Johnny or Sung-hwa's, yeah.
Wow, goodbye Hyunjin.
Yeah, they both just, like, Hyunjin's was good, and it looked good on him.
That's because everything looks good on him.
Yeah.
You would.
It was just, like, a little basic.
You'd have to try so hard to make Hyunjin actually look legitimately ugly. Because he's just so handsome.
Yeah. But Sung-hwa's and Johnny's just, I felt like it showed off their personality well. It showed off their, like, personal style really well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Last Fashion Week thing. Jenny, for Chanel in this thing.
Ugh.
So bad.
What's your least favorite part?
Hideous.
At least, like, just make it the same blue, I guess.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's a proper one piece.
Yeah. Not my favorite.
And when I was looking up this look, even the look last year was kind of rough as well. It was like her in that like teddy bear.
Her for Chanel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Chanel's just kind of yucky right now. I don't like, it's not for me. I don't like their style.
Yeah.
Black hair Jenny, definitely elite.
Yes. And hopefully some of the promotion for her solo. That's coming out soon. We'll feature some black hair. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What is she calling it?
Great question.
Because I know that she announced her solo fan club is Rubies. I was like, oh, okay, guys.
Mantra. Wow.
Pretty girl mantra.
Yes. That's Aim's really excited for it.
Really interesting that she's giving her fans a solo name, though.
They, like, all do, I think.
I mean, even, like, amongst, like, other fandoms, solo, like, their specific bias people have names.
That's true. Like, I guess ATEEZ does it.
What's the worst one in ATEEZ?
Does Junger still call his fans everything? Because that's a bit silly.
Oh, no, I thought it was Rebos.
Oh, yeah.
Like, short for Haribo.
Yeah.
That's kind of cute.
It is cute. The name I dislike the most is probably, like, Yodongies.
No, I think Yodongies is so cute.
I still don't know what Hongjoon's is called.
Pyongies was okay, the shorthand.
Yeah, wasn't it like Pyonghamins? Actually, that might be the worst one. You're right.
Pyonghongmans, I think.
You're such a bad Pyonghongman.
Yeah. Pyongies was the shorthand, but then he also tried to rename it, and everyone was like, so what's the truth? Like,
yeah.
Pick one.
Well, Yosangs used to be cute dolls, and that's terrible.
That's worse.
So Yodongis is definitely better.
Yeah.
And then Sans used to be beautiful woods, and that's terrible. And I think they're just puddings now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Yuna's was weird or is weird.
I don't even know what it is. Twitter's telling me Yuno Power, and I was like, that's not right.
Yeah, there are some really old ones that, like, simply...
Yeah, the old ones.
Yeah.
Except, Wami's? Like,
Wami's is untouchable.
Wami's is perfect.
It's so gross.
But yeah, here's the whole track of her solo, which is going to be more than the Blackpink discography. So good for her. Okie dokie. What is next? Did you do any Kingdom this week?
Yeah, real quick Road to Kingdom update for those who somehow rely on me for that information is the remaining three groups did their performances. That was 1S did Kick It, the One Crew did The Boys Is Watch It, and Kravity did Sugar Rush Riots. Kravity came first for the rankings for it.
Good, after they came in last.
Yeah, so that was really nice for them. They did good. I like looking at some of the rankings, I'm still just like, okay, some of these covers were just so much of a cover that I can't disconnect it with the original, and therefore it's hard to, like, for me to personally rank it in any kind of substantial way. But yeah, I didn't really have any opinions on who did better or worse than anybody else. But 8TERN came in last, which sucks for them. They did Pass the Mic, which was one that I was just like, this is just such a cover. There's no other words for it. Not an insulting way, it was just a cover. But yeah, now they're doing more missions next week that I think are like covers of American songs by the look of it. I can see Oneus is doing No Diggity.
Ew.
No Diggity?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's their own song.
Oh, they have a song called No Diggity? I'm a fake Oneus fan.
Yeah.
Maybe
it could be also like a play on like, oh, you guys are going to do the American versions of all your songs that
versions?
Yeah, the actual other like Western song that was released of the song that you have of the same
name. Title.
Yeah. Which would be funny.
That would be funny, but reading the words that are written in front of me now, I'm seeing that it is their own hit songs, rearranged, different from their usual stages.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Well.
Congrats, Gravity.
Last thing?
Last week, I was checking my emails, as I tend to do, and noticed that I had some emails from Ticketmaster saying that my transfer of two tickets to another person was successful. There's a thing going around at the moment where Ticketmaster accounts are being hacked and tickets are being transferred out of your account, which is just crazy. I was somehow able to get a hold of Ticketmaster just through calling their like service desk, and because the person who stole them hadn't put them up for resale or anything, Ticketmaster could just transfer them straight back to my account, which was, I think, the weirdest part. Which, like, I'm very grateful I got my tickets back. I would have been really upset if I couldn't. And, yeah, just make sure you're changing your password of your Ticketmaster account regularly, because apparently this can happen now. Great.
A lot of people are coming forward like, oh, yeah, that happened to me last week, too. And I was like, oh, my gosh, were we all just, like, sitting silent about it?
Pretty much. Yeah, because I like complain to you guys, but I'm not the kind of person to like make a TikTok about it. Yeah.
I'm just really glad that like it was resolved pretty quickly for you, and now it's seeming to take forever to be resolved for other people. So I'm wondering if they're just like inundated with people being like, help me.
Yeah, I could see that. And I mean, if the person had like immediately put my tickets on resale and someone had bought them, I think I would have been fucked. It was just that they hadn't done that.
Yeah, they should still be able to fix that somehow.
There just should be a lot more two-factor authentication. Because, like, what do you mean that you can transfer tickets without needing to send a confirmation text message?
Yeah. It seems like they're trying to enable that right now, because we've been having, on my own end, difficulties transferring tickets. Like, my friend, the transfer for my DPR tickets, I had to just go on a browser and go into incognito mode to be able to do that. I've been trying to send Jack tickets for 2 days straight. And it actually did. The first time when I tried to initiate that transfer, it did ask for 2FA, and I was surprised by it. I was just like, oh, they're already resolving it. And it's just like, they only asked for it for me one time after I've tried sending it to you 5 times.
Yeah. Jeez. And it's just like, at that point, maybe they need to put the website down, work on it then, not work on it actively during the day.
Okay, but you know what's really funny? Because I'm an insane person.
Oh my god.
Every night, between like, I think...
It does go down for an hour.
Yes, it goes down for an hour.
Yeah, from like 2 to
3 a.m. Where they can fix things.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, do longer then.
Or actually do work during that time.
Yeah, that too.
They're not doing work.
No, maybe they're not doing enough work. Arena, don't be gentle on them. Do more work. People are potentially losing thousands of dollars and you're not offering any kind of solution. Like, even if, let's say, someone hacks your account, transfers your tickets, puts your tickets up for sale, those tickets get sold to a third person. That third person is innocent, has no idea what's going on. The company just has to take a loss and give the customer what they're rightfully owed, if it's fully the company's fault. You just have to cut that loss. You're just giving them the quote-unquote free $1,000 or whatever, the compensation for the price of the ticket. Because at this point, it's your fault. I can't believe she called them, like, over 100 times. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I was on hold for ages, but I got it all sorted in one phone call.
Yeah, thank God.
Also, I think it really helped that the emails that I had that's like, your tickets have been transferred, said the email of the person that it had been transferred to, because then I could give them that information. And she's like, fantastic, I can fix this. I was like,
And then bam, that account.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
literally. Ticketmaster taking accountability for their multiple data breaches.
Crazy.
I just, get your shit together, dude.
Fucking hate you, Ticketmaster.
Stay safe out there, even though we literally can't do anything to stay safe.
No, literally. Change your passwords. Change your email password. Change your Ticketmaster password.
Enable 2FA if you can.
Yeah, wherever you can.
And then it's just up to Ticketmaster to see where they're gonna enable that.
Check your stuff kind of regularly.
Me every night before I go to bed now.
Tucking my tickets in on bed, yeah.
Okay, well, I think we're going to take a small break, and then we'll come back with some comebacks. Welcome back!
Hello!
Too much music coming out this week, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah?
That's crazy. Yeah. I didn't think there were any comebacks this week.
Right? I also felt that, but then here we are. So, let's give them a listen. First up, we have ATEEZ's Japanese song, Birthday.
You guys already listened to this?
Yes.
Do you not?
I did listen to this one.
Okay. How did you like it?
It's not my favorite.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
Agreed. I feel very uninspired by it. pretty accurate. Okay.
They all look amazing.
Yeah. I think it's really just the chorus that, like, the verse is, like, quite like. And this bit is so fucking funny. This is the most Yo Sung thing we could have had him do.
What? Why are they still so obsessed with saying why so serious, too? Like,
yeah.
The grip that the fucking Dark Knight has on topics about men, too much.
Is that just more of a Joker thing then?
Yeah, but doesn't he say it the first time in The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
This did give us a very good new Hong Joon giggle though.
Yeah.
I have to turn it down a little bit more. I can't hear myself think.
Yeah, just the chorus like brings down the song for me.
I feel like I usually like AT's Japanese tracks too. Oh,
yeah, they're a bit hit and miss for me.
Yeah,
I really, obviously, really liked The King. I didn't really care for Paradigm.
Uh-huh.
I forget what their last Japanese comeback was.
I'm okay.
I forgot about her.
I did the one with B first also.
Oh, well, that doesn't count.
There's also one that was an anime opening, right?
I love the anime opening. I listened to that to death. That was so good.
Which one was that one? Limitless? Editing.
Yes.
Limitless. Yeah,
Limitless. Yeah. Limitless was...
I did like Limitless. I like Paradigm grew on me over time.
Yeah.
I'm a Paradigm enjoyer. I love that funky little mosquito beat.
I just like, I don't know. I don't really like Japanese K-pop tracks in general.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they can be so different. Like, yeah. What was some of their really old. Still Here and Better both started as Japanese tracks and then they eventually released them in Korean, and those are like really slow and really chill. Like, I loved those songs. Yeah, very different vibe to this one.
Yeah.
I can't hear this at all if you have sound playing.
I have it muted. Okay. So I can hear you guys talk.
That's fine. Video in the background.
Yeah, just something in the behind us.
Yeah, that one probably won't get a ton of replay from me, but I hope they're doing well in Japan, ?
I forgot what the size of their last venue was, but didn't they have a sold-out fan meet one recent thing there, so I think they're pretty good. Definitely not the level as other people who invest.
They get a fan meet, so... Anyway.
Cool. Is there a curse with songs with the name birthday in them?
I don't know.
All I can think of is like Ten's birthday, which is good. And
that was a really good song.
Yeah.
And Red Velvet's birthday.
Also good.
You like that one?
I don't want to slander Red Velvet.
Okay. Fine.
Yep.
Fair. Next up, Yuna.
Yes, Yuna. Nemo, Nemo.
NCT.
Oh, Utah. Okay, yes.
Oh.
I thought you were saying Yuna. Oh my god, yes, I haven't heard this yet.
Oh my god, I'm excited for your reaction.
Oh my god.
Oh my god!
There's that line again.
I got his voice in this!
He's finally here. I love the early 2000s.
Oh my god, you don't!
I didn't know Yuna. Honestly, I didn't know Yuna sounded like that.
Yeah. Because he doesn't normally sing like that at all.
No. And also, like, I feel like there's just too many standout vocalists in NCTs, and he's always there for, like, medley parts and transitions that you don't really, like, his voice doesn't get to have a chance to stand out on any of the tracks. So I was just like, wow.
SM is going to hell. His, like, I'm not surprised though. Like, I'm not surprised at all that is his solo work, that this is what he's doing. He's been, like, slowly moving towards this and making it clear that, like, this is his interest, this is where he's going towards, like, this is what he wants to do over the years.
Yes, like what we said before, is just like, when we see, like, soloist work, we want to know what we are going to expect to hear from you.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what it was. Ooh. I was surprised it was all in English, kind of disappointed it was all in English.
Yeah, kind of really surprised. At first I wasn't sure if it was in English or not, because I was like, oh, maybe it's mixed in some parts. Oh my god, my heart hurts. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah. It just feels like such also like a rapid launch after all, like, Seventh Sense did their solo stuff. It's just like, they're like, Yuna next. And I was just like, oh, Yuna's next. We're going.
Yeah.
And it was dropped really, like, suddenly with not really, like, previews and stuff, right? Like,
it didn't have a comeback schedule or anything leading up to it. It was like, maybe I think a month and a half ago, where they're just like, Yuna solo coming. We're like, what do you mean? It was just like one image on the NCT Japan account with just Yuna. And it was just like, he's coming. And it was like, oh. And then eventually they did release that. They're like, oh, he's going to do a tour in Japan with all of these songs.
Yeah, they, like,
I guess,
announced the tour way before they really announced, like, comeback details.
Yes, and even, like, tour merch before comeback details. So at least, like, you had, like, some sense of what we are going to be looking at. But, like, anything hearing-wise, actual music video-wise, was nothing.
Yeah.
How does this compare to the old Rockstar Legends music stuff?
I'm trying to think of like where it fits into. It's not like the most dramatic, like heaviest stuff. It is very like mid to late 2000s, like Hayao Miyazaki. But he is like best friends with Hyde, and I'm not surprised at all. I think it suits him really well, this like early 90s rock star kind of vibe, rather than like a full Visual K kind of aesthetic. Yeah, this is, I am really excited to listen to this album. I've been putting it off. I've been saving it.
Well, I expect a full review next week.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen. That was very good.
Yeah. Aim, how did you like it, even though there was screaming in it?
I feel like it was an amount of screaming that like I can
tolerate.
I can tolerate, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was for someone who is like a really casual NCT listener and like doesn't know a huge amount about Yuta, like I wouldn't have guessed what song to expect from him, kind of thing. I love that it was something really unexpected for me, and he said, this is what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna fucking do it well. Like, you know, my complaints about other people who have had some solo songs this year, where I was like, this felt really generic and not special to them at all. Like, no, you just said, nah, bitch. Listen to this. So I think that's great. I'm really impressed by it.
It's just so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. I wish he was doing music like show promotions with it.
The thing is, it's not K-pop.
Yeah.
It's not K-pop. It's not being promoted in Korea. And like I don't want to say this as like a pass for SM, because SM, burn in hell, we hate you, do better, treat your artists with respect. But like, this is being managed through AVEX, like through Japan.
Mm.
So I do expect things to be like a little bit different. But I do think it's also really weird that they like don't post anything about it on like the main NCT Twitter and stuff, which they've also always kind of been shady towards Yuta in weird ways. Like, just his Paris Fashion Week appearances, like, other stuff like that. So it's hard to tell, like, what is promotions being handled by other parts of the company or through, like, partnerships with Japanese company versus what is them being assholes.
Okay. Well, you can focus on your ticketing while we're going to listen to Lisa.
Oh.
If there's no music video, I do not care.
Lisa, I'm disappointed in you.
I feel like you have been for a while.
I have been, but before I was like, oh, it's okay, girl, make whatever music you want to make. Even if I don't like it, that's fine. If you like it, that's cool. But she just seems to kind of be doing whatever she wants to in a bad way. at which point I'm like, let's have some morals here.
Okay, but then after Yuta, now is our real next song, Kiss of Life, REM. Just because we're together don't mean that we're together, baby. It's already so boring, I want to skip it.
Yeah,
on the closed captioning.
Oh, maybe it's all in English.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a all English song going into their US tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely their chill song of like, sing along with me, and then they all stand at the edge of the like stage, and then they're waving their hands to move the light sticks with them. Song. Yeah,
it's just a break.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, she's pouring
Sprite on the ground.
She's quirky like that.
She's not like other girls. Her shadow does what it wants.
The same says, ditto, New Jeans. True.
How many English speaking members do they have? Who?
No idea.
At least two, I would say. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like just all of them at this point.
Yeah.
Which is like why they would be so good in a US audience like, as well.
Yeah, I do feel like all of them are really conversational.
Mm-hmm.
Julie is American, Natty is Thai, Elle is Korean American, and Hanul is Korean. Cute.
Very nice little breaky song.
Their concert is going to be so fun.
Yana, she's back.
Yana.
Yana's back.
I have heard this already.
Really?
Yeah.
Yana's from IOI or?
Yes, I think so.
IZ*ONE. Oh my god. Is this a Japanese song?
No, but I did listen to it because somebody was like, oh, finally, we're back into J-pop and K-pop. Someone said it reminded them of second gen, so I was like, okay, let me listen to this. Music video is reminding me of Girls' Days' Twinkle Twinkle.
God, I wish I knew what that reference was.
Cute! Oh,
that's so cute. There was like some trending chart of like J-pop is just like moving at a pace that's bigger than K-pop right now, and has been seen that like J-pop has been sounding in pop songs. I'm just surprised we haven't gotten more of that this year, honestly. This is also like hyper pop.
That is.
J-pop.
That chorus part is so earwormy.
Mm-hmm.
But Nemo Nemo, Nemo Nemo.
Yeah. Especially, it's like a different earwormy than the, like, the crack that Kai puts into their chorus. It's like it's like an ending soundtrack for some show. No way. She's in Yehua jail.
Damn.
I liked it, honestly.
I do too. I like it a lot. The music video is very cute.
Oh, whenever I'm in the mood for that, I will listen to it.
Yeah. Damn, I really thought she had like moved on to a different company after IZ*ONE.
Aim, as a first-time Yena listener?
That wasn't for me.
Have you ever listened to Hyperpop? Something with, like, I don't know, 160 BPM?
I hate fun and I'm a misogynist, so, like, not for me.
What boy would you like to see cover the song?
Woongki from Boys Planet. Hanbin, if he could do, like, some tutting to this. Sunghwa, just for fun. Chanhee from The Boys.
Yeah.
And Kai from TXT.
Damn.
Wow, what a list.
They could all do it separately. They don't have to do it together.
No, I want them to form their own IZ*ONE and only do this song from one of the members from the group.
That would be such an interesting group.
Last one, following up on Key's, whatchamacallit, album last week, which I finally gave it a good listen to.
What'd you think?
Good. I really liked all of the songs on it. Unsurprisingly.
Yeah, this is just a performance video for Overthink.
I think this is my favorite track on the album, though.
Yeah. I legitimately think it's the best track on the album.
Wow. I feel like he's never done these performance videos either, now that I think about it.
He started doing it more with the Gasoline album.
Yeah. But he doesn't go on like Choom with Good and Great, didn't go on it with Killer.
He went to do, didn't he do a performance of Villain on Choom with Geno?
He did a Villain performance on the like Music Bank, one of the broadcast recordings, but we never got like an official video version of anything like this. From the last album, the video version would have been cool as, instead of any of those fuck-ass outfits I have to see every time I want to see him perform that song.
So bad outfits.
I would have preferred, like, yeah, something like this for cool as, so.
Yeah.
Glad it's here.
I love this performance video because it just reminded me, like, this is dancer key. Like, I don't know what people think of him. Like, do people associate him with being particularly good at something? I don't know. That sounds bad when I say it like that.
But I think he's good at everything. He said himself was just like, I had to find what my identity was, which turned into like being an on-screen personality.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, Aim, do you know
if he's just such an all-rounder and shiny.
Aim, did you know if Key was like more of a singer or rapper in the shiny when he's performing in shiny?
Definitely singer, but like, you know, the way that like Ten is immediately dancer, I'd go like Onu singer first if I'm like associating in order.
Mm-hmm. See, that's funny because he's actually a rapper and main dancer.
Yeah.
Key was a rapper?
Yeah. Like is? him and Minho were the rappers of Shiny. And then he was also a main dancer with Ten. Like anytime they did music shows and someone had to like cover another dance or they had like dance battles, it was always him and Temin.
Damn. I am a fake shiny fan.
Well, yeah.
We'll get you there.
Such a good fucking song. I need to buy this album. I need that little cup, a little glass.
If those are available in the States, hopefully, please.
Yeah, I've kind of been waiting the appropriate amount of time for stuff to come in. I'm waiting for someone to say that they have them in stock in the city.
It's time for some hot takes.
Oh boy.
A lot of me in here this week.
Is there?
Oh, feels like it. One day we'll have an AIM hot take. Okay, 17. First hot take, 17. Oh, it's been announced that their title track is a feature collab with DJ Khaled. He
wow.
just keeps coming back into our lives.
We will never be free.
We will never be free. Yeah, it's just disappointing. And don't know what more to say about that. Will not be listening to it, probably.
Love, money, fame. That just feels like a 17 song, you know?
Right? That's like what they sing about all the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be, I could see like they have a more depressing angle about that, being like they're caged in by love, money, and fame. But true. Since DJ Khaled is here, it's just more of a we the best.
DJ! Yeah.
I mean, at least, like, the only good thing is that there's five other tracks, and it's not just, like, a single
yeah.
with just him. So, like, there's two other, like, full OT13 songs, and then units songs, so.
Yeah. Wow, 1 to 13 is a 2.5 minute song also.
That's disgusting, because yeah. it's going to make me cry in those 2.5 minutes.
You also pointed out the other day that the vocal team song is called Candy?
Yes. Sateng means candy, so oh. They did not get the memo about rain and water.
Wet. What else would have been? Could have been, I guess, like a waterfall or...
Yeah.
I'm just really unenthusiastic about this whole album right now, and then, like, this title track is just, like, a nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it'll still be okay. Maybe it won't be, like, a really obviously feat DJ Khaled song. Maybe it'll be subtle. Woozy and Bumps used to work it.
It has to, every DJ Khaled song has to start with, we the best music,
yeah.
DJ Khaled, yeah. And like that's gonna be in the first 5 seconds of the song, and I'm gonna rip my headset off, and I'm gonna be like, I fucking hate you.
Maybe they won't do that.
Yeah.
Maybe they can put some foot down and be like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Uzi's like, hey, can we roll this back? Actually, don't do that. Let's do it again.
But yes, everyone, all the characters are complaining. It's just like all these like comeback photo shoots are also like super meh and boring and badly photoshopped as well. And I don't know what to say. I think that's like something 17 has always had. They just were never really a concept heavy group
yeah.
with visuals and stuff. That's why I like never really even bought their albums and stuff. I feel like maybe at one point I just got like peer pressured into buying them. So yeah, we're just going back to the roots of being like, I don't need to buy their albums. I don't need to do anything. I will listen to the unit songs and we'll be okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's when groups started doing the signed albums when you're like, oh shit, I want to get this. And I don't mean you specifically. I mean the general you is like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they get us.
Yes.
Unrelated to a hot take, but 17 related. Elena and I were watching one of their more recent TTT episodes, like from this one that came out like in the last month or so. And all of a sudden it hit me that this was a brand new TTT and the last TTT that they'd be doing before the enlistment started, and therefore the last like OT13 for a number of years. And I literally got so emotional whilst we were eating lunch, and at first Lena thought I was doing a funny bit, and then she looked over and I'm like low-key tearing up. She's like, are you good?
No,
I'm not good.
Do you want to listen to the sample?
Sure. What a silly teaser.
This is the most creative Plytus has ever done.
Oh no.
No!
Oh my god!
No! Oh my goodness. I don't know if all that was super necessary.
Hey,
DJ Khaled, I'm so glad I met my wife because we didn't want to listen to you perform live. Could you never appear in my life again? Thank you so much.
It's just the curse. Every K-pop group just has to do their Western collaboration. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, they landed on DJ Khaled. I guess it could have been worse.
They did one with Marshmello. They'd already done it.
Yes. Which also turned out not great because he's also a Zionist.
Oh boy.
But the whole company that they are partnered with.
Yeah, I mean, I feel weird enough about HYBE groups right now, so I don't think we need to delve into all their collabs when the company who owns them is pretty fucking yikes. Like,
so deep in it.
Yo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about this.
Yeah.
Give it a listen. We'll make our judgment from there. Have fun, boys, or not. I'm just, like, curious, actually, on the timeline of between this comeback and their concerts in Seoul that are coming up. I feel like they're not going to do any music broadcast performances.
Mm. I mean, I could see them potentially only doing, like, maybe one week.
Oh. Because they're being held against their will by the company.
Yeah.
Or else they can't. It will be, like, HYBE versus Mnet beef again, or I don't remember.
Whichever company broadcasting.
Yeah. Tour 17 tour will begin on October 12th. And this comes out October 14th. The math's not mathing. Do you think people at the tour are going to hear this song before? I mean, like, it's happened before, which is, like, definitely not out of the realm of, like, possibility. But why?
Yeah, that's really weird. I guess they probably will be performing the song. Because then it's like, are they not going to perform any of the new songs?
Yeah, the unit, like, section. Are they going to do the new songs or not? I don't know. This whole thing's been so weird.
Yeah.
I feel like this tour definitely wasn't supposed to be scheduled at this time now.
Yeah. Because also, like, there's been, like, a good 2 or 3 comebacks since the last time they were here. So, like, what unit songs are they going to perform here?
Back it up again.
Kills myself.
Out of, like, all, like, especially, like, these recent hip-hop unit songs have been so good. And then they still keep back it up. And I'm, like, choking. So, it's not K-Con.
King card. I'm hot. I won't say it.
Say it.
Say the dick and balls thing.
There you go.
So it's like a cover queen card, but they changed all the language for boys.
That's very funny.
Yeah, and they mention they want to be, like, hot or attractive as insert Western male celebrity here, and it was really funny.
Oh, was that the... Who did they say? It was, like, as pretty as Conan Gray or something. That was absolutely wild.
It looks like it's only nowadays did a cover of G-Idle's Queen Card, but they made it into King Card.
So sexy like Travis Scott? Oh my god.
It's still Queen Card.
That's crazy. I'm shocked they didn't change Queen Card.
Oh, this might have been K-Con Germany, I think.
Yeah.
So nowadays is the same group as Cube that has G-Idle, so I guess that's the only connection that they have there, but they sure made them do that.
That's crazy.
So yeah, when I was just like, I want to see boy groups cover girl group songs, this is not what I mean at all.
I don't know, I think it's funny.
How would you react if you saw this in person?
Disbelief. It would also probably be like singing along to the original lyrics and then being like, wait, what did they just say?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes I just have like hard zoning in too, so I wouldn't even be able to register what's happening in this arena.
Yeah, I am fully the same.
Are you sure you don't have any hot takes you want to share with the class?
I don't think I really have any hot takes for this week either.
You guys disappoint me.
It's not even, like, really hot takes. It's just, like, random fandom discussion-y things.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Like, the thing about Ake is that
four hours earlier.
It was 4 hours long! Anyway, I actually have a lot to say about birthday lives.
I thought you didn't have any hot takes.
I didn't realize this was a hot take. Yeah, my thing with birthday lives is just I'm never sure if the member wants to do it or not. I think, like, one, they should only be doing it if they actually want to do it. They shouldn't be, like, forced to do it. And then if they are forced to do it, at least give them a friend to be with.
Yeah.
How miserable to sit and just have to, like, parse through nonsense, bullshitty fan comments for an hour, scrolling through the most nonsense bullshit. The whole group should be there, or just one member, two members, whoever else wants to participate. Like, I miss AT's birthday lives where Ooyoung and San would, like, constantly crash each other's so much. They were perfect.
But it is, I don't know, it is a bit of their job. And
yeah. I mean, they could still do it, but
do a little activity.
In what aspect are you saying that this is, like, part of their job?
Being a public figure.
Oh, I guess so. I just feel like there's...
You must accept the love that people give you.
At this point, like, just release a mixtape or something, you know what I mean? Just release a single cover, I don't know.
Aim, do you like birthday lives? You don't care about them? You don't watch them?
I don't often watch lives in general because of the time zone that we're in, and they're not usually subbed. Yeah, so I don't really have a strong opinion either way on birthday lives. I do think it's really nice when another member joins. Like, I feel like... Yeah, they should just be allowed to have a friend if they want a friend. Like, unless they're like, no, today is all about me. I don't want anybody else in this live. I am the center of attention. But yeah, I don't frequently watch birthday lives.
I'm also not very much of a live watcher either.
Not to be that person, but, like, I do really miss Chan's room. And even when he was kind of, like, transitioning out of doing Chan's room, and, like, towards the end of Chan's room, he would do, like, spontaneous TikTok lives, like, unannounced, and he would get on TikTok and mess around for, like, 20 minutes to, like, an hour, and those were just really nice, and I like to see them having fun. Like, I would get whatever ATs is doing lives on now, but knowing that I'm going to miss most of them because of the time zones, I just don't bother. So just watch the little clips on Twitter.
Yeah.
So far, the only good lives this year. Happy birthday to my kids, Hunter and Eugen from Psychers. Their birthday is the twins. Their birthday is October 5th. Both of their birthdays, October 5th. They do their birthday lives together because they are twins.
Just share a birthday with someone else in your group. Problem solved.
And then you just always have a little buddy to do your live with, and that's cute. And then I love Exoneri Heroes birthday lives, because sometimes they start with just, like, a couple members, and then by the end of it, all the members come and do, like, one little thing with the cake, and they blow out their candles, and then they do their birthday kiss. So
their birthday kiss?
Yeah, whoever's birthday it is sits in, like, the chair in the middle. And it's actually not even, like, a kiss. They, like, blow a raspberry on them. So whoever sits in the chair in the middle, they, like, tip their head way back, and all the rest of the guys lean in and, like, blow a raspberry on them.
Oh my goodness, that's adorable.
It's very funny. It's very cute. They don't always start out, like, all of them in the room at the time, but whoever's free by the end of the live, they'll come in and do a little birthday kiss.
Cute.
And that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Like, I just want them to have fun. It's their birthday.
Last hot take for me was one of my car driving thoughts.
Oh, I thought it was going to be, like, about
F1. but it was just, like, I saw a tweet. It's just, like, Neo team stopped caring after, like, Neo Zone for NCT. And I feel like that just might probably be true for like a lot of these SM like management teams. It's just like once you get your like legacy songs, you can just stop trying and coast through it. Like they stopped making so much creative content to promote the comeback and the group in general.
So when I saw you write that in there, I was like, what do you think about this?
As a late person.
Yeah, and if it was like, and if it was like really noticeable to someone that is like into NCT so much more recently, like even in the time that you've been like really paying attention to them, has it been like a noticeable drop off too?
I think it is noticeable with how much activity they do, but that might just be natural with an aging group.
It's just hard for me to compare like how much
super
activity,
low effort compared to like things I've watched in the past. In, like, everything within
over the years,
the last
but
year,
I just think a lot of the things that they are putting
the
out is very
content
lazy and
piece
very low effort,
sending
and
sending them to a
very
house
the same.
To chill.
Like,
which
nothing
could be
is
what
new,
they want to
and,
do.
Especially comparing it to like 17, where.
Like,
how many times
to, like,
do I have to watch NCT go to
remake
a fucking house?
Old games into, like, new games for them.
Something
I think
that
it's
I've
just
been, like,
even
wondering
more effort
is
to, like, do something like that. Or, like,
the
they
guys
try to
are,
make
like,
a theme
especially
with,
127.
Like, this
they're, like,
Mafia is a little bit different. We're doing
kinds
it
of
this way and stuff like
anymore.
That.
Because they did used to do all of that stuff, but in a way, some of it feels like content for younger groups and just like younger people in general. And I'm like, are they still interested in doing stuff like that or not? Like, would they rather be doing this, or is this like the only time all of their schedules align? So they're like, just throw them in a house and get as much footage as possible. But I also, and again, this is just partially my like my assumption or like kind of my thought, is like, how done are they with SM and like with Neo Team? Because, you know, they're like, the way they kind of interact with things can be like a really like sarcastic, kind of like jokey apathy sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like they've kind of accepted their lot at this point. And they're like, well, what are they going to do? The company sucks. And they're just like, big shrug looking into the camera. And I wonder kind of like, are they done? Like, they're not done, but they're just like... whatever
checked out.
Effort, yeah, they're like, whatever minimum effort to appease the company.
Oh my
let's
god.
Let's do that.
Quiet quitting.
Yeah. Like, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, no, I
of
a sentiment
love
of that.
Each other. But yeah, if it's like, how much are we willing to do to appease the company and their whatever they're asking of us?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, sure, we'll hang out in a house together and drink for 3 days. Okay. But to be honest, when you're pushing 30, that's kind of, that's my ideal hangout as well.
Yeah, it is. But like, just seeing, I mean, it was during the pandemic, just like rewatching the 24-hour relay, that also seems very low effort that they could still be doing, and it will be different. And it will be still unique, especially compared to like what they were like 4 years ago when they did that.
I love that.
It would also be pretty easy to pitch to them, being like, just spend an hour of your day versus we're going to take 2 days. And
drag
you're going to be
in the middle of nowhere.
Like the recent 127 one also, it's just like they dragged them to next to a stream and they're like, go play in the river and
go drink. Fish. Well, there's no fish in here, but go fish for an hour in the freezing cold.
Oh my god.
They keep throwing them in rivers. 127 keeps getting thrown into rivers and Dream keeps getting thrown into a house. Wavy is, of course, they get no content, and then Wish, you're next.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. Interesting in a bad way.
I really just wanted to say that. I was just, like, mostly ruminating on the fact of, like, once your managing team gets your hit, you hit good amount of residual money from that, probably, so you're just coasting.
It does feel like they're just like, well, we have our established fandom. And like, I get it, but they're not that old of a group. I mean, I guess at this point they are, but...
Okay, well, I think that's it for this week. I'm gonna say it.
Let's one time. Okay. I mean, okay.
Please like, comment, and subscribe to us here on YouTube.
Ooh.
or subscribe to us on Spotify, or we're not on Apple Music because I'm too stupid to figure it out right now.
We're all too stupid to figure it out.
Or you can just follow us on RSS, which also hosts all our podcasts as well. It's kind of funny because it's like, if you want to hear the full version, you have to listen to it via podcast. But if you want to see what we're seeing, you have to watch it on YouTube. So you kind of have to pick your point. Because YouTube has been like taking some audio off of our videos because of copyright. Which, so I think it's just funny in a way.
Yeah,
if you want
to keep up with us for some reason.
We will be talking next week. Bye!
Yeah, bye!
Thanks for listening.
Sorry.